Absolutely.
Because you know the resources are there in San Jose, but the world is lacking, as you well know.
Hey, Robert, that's all I got to say for now. Thanks for calling. And keep in touch. We're all around. And I saw Mr. Olivier's show. I've been, you know, busy. And I was up in San Jose all day yesterday. I didn't get your message to him. It's too late. But, call us back. We're around. Hope all's well with you. See you, Robert. Bye-bye.
Yes, and that was, in fact, Scott Wages of the Community Homeless Alliance. And if you are either in San Jose or for some strange reason you can hear us over there, or you have friends in San Jose, or you want to get in touch with Scott and find out what's going on with the Community Homeless Alliance, give a call to 345-2353. That's 345-2353, the San Jose Community Homeless Alliance. And if you want to comment on anything that's being said on this show, you can give a call to 423-HUFF, even after the show is over, and we'll be ending within the next 20 minutes, coming back to you on Monday and Fridays at 10 o'clock here on 96.3 FM Free Radio Santa Cruz.
But now on the phone we have a caller, Stubbornheart Star, the mean woman of the downtown Hound Dog, the host's table, and we haven't seen much of you for the last couple weeks, Star. What's been happening?
I've been in and out of juvenile hall.
Oh, dear.
Yes, that's what I've been saying.
You failed a piss test or something like that?
I admitted to failing one because I had been smoking pot for morning sickness. What a bad girl am I?
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting question. Is that a bad or a good use of marijuana? What's the story on that?
I've had a lot of friends tell me that, you know, I can get a prescription, a legal prescription for Marinol for morning sickness from a doctor. So, But I don't think I'm going to do that because, you know, it's too risky and I really don't want to take
get
a
prescription
chance.
Or smoke marijuana.
No, get a prescription or smoke marijuana.
Well, there are toxins, you know, tars and so forth that come in when you smoke that you wouldn't get if you took Marinol.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But I don't want to take the chance of losing my child to CPS. So because you know I'm a juvenile and when you're a juvenile they look at you with more suspicion than they would if you were an adult.
Mm-hmm.
So but I'm planning on setting up the table tomorrow and on Sunday too.
This is the Hound Dog, the host's table. The table that you usually set up right near the Del Mar Theater down on Pacific Avenue and Lincoln Streets?
Exactly.
And what do you do at this table? What's it all about?
What we're doing is we're trying to inform the community and the people who are being harassed or spoken down to by the hosts.
Who are the hosts?
The hosts are the green-shirted people who run the Downtown Information Center, who are supposed to give information to tourists, and instead of doing their job, they run around and police the streets of downtown Santa Cruz.
Well, these are the people who are supposed to kind of be the eyes and ears of the police force, and they actually, I'm acting like the dummy here, and I know full well who the hosts are, but this is for the purpose of those who may not. We began this show with a rendition of Hospitality Nazis by singer Bard, as he calls himself, Phil Free. And Phil gave us an hour interview at the beginning of this show. You've actually gotten a number of complaints, both on tape and written complaints, and you're preparing a report to the Downtown Management Corporation, which is the group that oversees the hosts, right?
Yes, that's true.
And are you looking for volunteers to help you in this effort?
Yes, the main days that I look for people to volunteer or just to do whatever they can to help me out is I'm going to start going out on Wednesdays now to the farmers market.
Mm-hmm.
And from 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock, my main goal is to get people to get people interested in volunteering some of their time if they ever have free time.
Mm-hmm.
To help me and help the downtown community and help the homeless and and those who are being discriminated by the hosts to help change the hosts maybe their perspectives, I don't know, to help get the point across to the people who hire the hosts that they shouldn't have them out there for, you know, to they should keep an eye on them to make sure that they do what they're supposed to be doing.
I'd rather see them cooking burgers at McDonald's, frankly. The hosts are, of course, the people that were hired to support the anti-homeless downtown ordinances, which make it illegal to sit on the sidewalk 10 feet from a shop and that sort of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how can people get in touch with you? You're going to be on the mall tomorrow, you say?
Yeah, I'm going to be out there probably from 11 o'clock to maybe around 3 o'clock.
And you used to be in a situation where you'd have people kind of follow the hosts around and take notes on what they do and give out literature to people that they have contacted, that sort of thing?
Yeah, well, when we have at least two people sitting at the table, that leaves one person free to go and follow the host around while there's another person there who can inform passersby on what we're doing out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds like a good idea. So how can people can come down to the mall in front near the Del Mar Theater on Saturdays, and you're going to be doing this on Sunday too, or you're not sure?
I'm pretty sure that I'm going to be going out there on Sunday also.
And they can also give you a call somewhere?
Yeah, you can call me at 438-8630.
438-8630, okay.
Yeah, and if there's nobody home, you can leave a message on the answering machine, and don't be surprised if you hear my mother's voice.
Mm-hmm. Is your mother opposed to this effort?
Yes, my mother is very opposed to this effort.
I see.
Well, she actually asked me this morning, do you want to go table today? And I told her, you know, I have a couple appointments, so I...
So your mother, she's not opposed to this effort, is what you're saying?
Yes, she is.
Oh, she is opposed to the effort.
She's happy about it.
Oh, opposed to means, yeah, so she favors your doing this.
Yes, very much so.
I gotcha, okay. So, well, that sounds good. So you may be having some more reports for us at the Monday show of incidents involving the hosts, or possibly the hosts who all have resigned en masse to become street singers. Probably not, though.
You know, I feel, you know, the hosts are out there to give information, and if in fact they do want to semi-enforce the downtown ordinances, they can do it with a little bit less discrimination, such as, you know, instead of going up to somebody who's sitting down next to a building and telling them they have to move, giving them a warning before the police come by, you know, at least to inform them that if the police do come, they can get a ticket for what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But to tell somebody that they have to take their dog off the mall or they can't sit here, they're going to have to move, it's not their job to enforce these ordinances because they're not the police.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. Yeah, I tend to make it a point whenever I see a host ordering someone to move to, in a loud voice, draw a crowd to observe this kind of bizarre behavior of a green-shirted agent of the merchants telling people that they can't use public spaces in innocent ways because the merchants are afraid it might affect their business. I think the more ridicule against this stuff we have in the community, the more likely we are and the sooner we are to get rid of it. That's how I look at it. So 438-8630 is the number folks can call, or they can show up tomorrow between 11 and 3 when you'll be downtown, right?
And same on Sunday, 11 to 3.
Okay. Anything else you want to add?
I'm kind of concerned about Christina. She hasn't been up and around lately.
Christina is the woman who's actually done a lot of work around this. She's a woman in a wheelchair who's been following hosts around in her wheelchair, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's been storing the table at her place and so forth. So you're concerned about Christina, huh?
Yeah, because she's been kind of out of it lately, and every time she says she's going to do the table, I'll come over to her house and she's like, oh, I don't feel like doing it today. And
I understand, yeah.
But she looks kind of out of it also.
Well, it sounds like you need more supporters, you know.
Yeah, I really do.
It sounds like you need people to call you up. And again, if people want to call 438-8630, then you can learn if, you know, you're actually going to be out there alone. And this effort is not really going to succeed unless people do help you, because as you found out, you can sustain it for a little while, but very soon, you know, the energy falls unless there's new blood in there. So I'm gonna move on and hope that you do well, Star.
Okay, Robert.
And I thank you for continuing your work.
Okay, well, I'll see you around.
And I hope some people call you. Call in, audience. Come on, you can do it. Bye-bye.
Please.
Talk to you later.
Okay, bye, Robert.
Well, there you are. Stubbornheart Star fighting to maintain the Hound Dog, the host's table, and she'll be there tomorrow from 11 to 3, we hope. And but she needs your help, so if you're interested, call her at 438-8630. I have a new Housing Now flyer dated October 11th from Linda LeMaster, Lighthouse Linda as I call her, who has often been a speaker on this show, who's been a longtime activist in Santa Cruz for the rights of poor people with Welfare Parents Support Group, way back when it was Welfare Mothers Support Group many years ago, who's a writer, who's a mother, who's a women's commissioner, actually, appointed by Celia Scott. And she would be here speaking for herself, but she's at the Above the Line Community Consortium meeting, which I mentioned earlier. It happened at 11:30 and may well still be going on. She asked me to read this most recent Housing Now letter that she's putting out to the community, and I'm going to do that. It's to youth and their parents and caregivers in unincorporated parts of Santa Cruz County. This is from a mother who has been homeless with her children here. Regarding a proposed police curfew for youth. If you and your children are under age 18, a new law is being proposed which will affect you and your children when you're out with your guardian after 11 p.m. or before 5 a.m. And I don't know how often people go out with their guardian, so that means 99% of the time. Some young people will obviously be harder hit than others, but we all need to take a closer look at it, and soon. This law would permit police officers to stop people at night based on looks alone. Do they look under 18 years old? Do they look busy and headed home, or look like they are tarrying, an archaic word like hanging out? The law was originally to be countywide, but some cities have already taken a position against it. So now the county's board of supervisors have told Sheriff Mark Tracy to work out a version of this law for the regions they supervise. If this law passes, police officers are free and may be obliged to pick up and hold you or your children where they please and ask questions later. We fear that more innocent youth than guilty ones will be pushed into the juvenile criminal justice system and needlessly forced into the already overcrowded county or state children's jails. We fear also because way too much discretion will be given to the beat officers rather than to those service providers and caregivers with training relevant to the needs of our youngsters. Please help us stop or revise this law before it becomes a noose for our children. A bad thing about this proposed law is that it is expected back in front of the county board of supervisors by November 7th or 14th. Yet young people themselves who would have to live and grow under this curfew law have still not had any significant opportunity to say how they feel about this law. My sons and I, who have survived homelessness here, feel that the county of Santa Cruz should be helping to develop safe, neighborhood-based resources and places for our older children to legally and within their means come together before making it a crime to be caught outside at night. Or at least a designated driver's program when the buses stop running at night, before laws that will have to be enforced selectively are passed. I feel that this sort of law will have a heavier impact on low-income, carless, transitioning, crowded, and homeless families than it will on others. Eleanor Eisenberg, local American Civil Liberties Union leader, also a mother, outlined some of the proposed law's flaws to the County Board of Supervisors. But they didn't seem to care, and others of us were not even allowed 30 seconds to speak before they sent it to Sheriff Tracy for tooling up. I believe this curfew law will pass really fast unless a lot of folk, including those targeted by the law, those who vote, and those who are paying the police officers' salaries, speak up promptly. Sheriff Tracy may consult with department heads within the county government, but he hasn't yet returned any of my phone calls and visits, and has no plans to share or hear from youth in public before it comes back to the Board of Supervisors. Please, if you care at all about our children's future, write a letter or visit your supervisorial representative before this bad law is on the agenda. Help block this unfair and ill-planned attack on our younger folk. They need more chances to participate in our communities, not more doorways to criminalization and discouragement. Call the clerk at the Santa Cruz County Board of Supervisors, 454-2200, Los Gatos Summit Area, 446-0880, to be sure what date it comes back on their agenda. Let your concerns be heard on or before that date. If you would like to express your concerns to the supervisors but feel you need confidentiality, or if you would like to host a house, park, club meeting to review the actual draft ordinance, or to help out in any way to forewarn our youth, please call me, Linda LeMaster, throughout October at 426-7701, or call Welfare Parents Support Group, Inc. at 458-9070. Please let your younger friends know about this, as we have no funding for a real outreach. Sincerely, Linda LeMaster, a very concerned mother. A good letter, Linda. I wish you were here to read it and comment on it yourself. Linda has a unique way of putting herself, and she puts it well. The curfew is a mistake. There's actually, I had some literature to read you about San Francisco curfew, but I'm running out of time here. I have about 5 minutes left before Bob is due on the air. He's been waiting patiently in the next room, and so I'm going to let him on, I suppose. So, let me see if there's anything I want to sum up before I leave. I usually have four or five times more than I'm able to put out on the air. I make lists of things. There's information from Berkeley. The city of Berkeley is continuing its pressure, the university and the city, against People's Park's free box and its free meal up there, the Food Not Bombs meal. Nutcracker Nick Whitehead will be with us on Monday with a one-hour report from the UCSC affirmative action protest demonstrations of yesterday, so you can tune in on Monday from 10 to 1 for that. And I was going to leave you a long report from Ottawa about demonstrations happening up there, but that I'm afraid we don't have time for. For those interested in the Linda Edwards assault case. Linda Edwards died in June, as you may remember, of liver cancer, and during the last 24 hours of her life was subjected to, in essence, an assault from a man who had been a close activist friend of hers. We gave the information to the police department. She was literally in a coma in a board and care home, and she died soon after. This man claimed he had had mad and passionate sex with her. It's amazing. I can hardly believe it as I say it. Anyway, the coroner's office did an autopsy, or actually what's called a sex kit or rape kit investigation, which found no evidence of penetration, since that's the magic word that will somehow make a sexual assault into a rape. But there was sufficient evidence for the detective who investigated the case to recommend that there be a felony sexual assault or sexual battery charge levied. And the DA did nothing about this, claiming that they were waiting for the full autopsy report. And when we went to the district attorney's office last week, we heard nothing more except they were waiting for that. But apparently the Women's Commission, Commission Against Prevention of Violence Against Women, sent letters to different groups, including the sheriff and the bodies that the district attorney is on, and they're now holding a meeting today to consider what to do about the case of Linda Edwards and the person who we believe assaulted her. an old friend of mine, Brian Flanagan Staley, a very good activist in the old days, a man who went crazy, apparently. Anyway, that will be, we'll have more information for you on Monday about that. Beware if you go to Judge Kelsey's court with a handbag. I had my sack of papers with me and set it down to talk to Ray McMahon, who I gave you a report on earlier in the show. The bailiff came over to me and told me you have to sit down next to your bag or move your bag next to you, something I'd never been told in a courtroom before. I've been to the courtroom literally hundreds of times. I told him I would be sitting down next to my bag as soon as I was finished with my conversation. He demanded I move. I said, no, I'm going to finish my conversation. He called two other bailiffs and had me forcibly removed from the courtroom and told me that I could not be present during the public proceedings. I sent in a sympathetic attorney, Mitchell Page, talked to the bailiff, got the bailiff, a man named Henderson, in Department 4, to agree. Bailiff Henderson agreed that I could come in if I waited like a wounded puppy who'd poo-pooed on the rug outside the courtroom for about 45 minutes. I filed a letter of complaint about this, but of course I don't think it's going to go very far. Bailiffs like to use fear to enforce their whims in court, and I'm afraid this bailiff is no exception. That happened in the courtroom of Superior Court Judge Bill Kelsey yesterday. Well, perhaps next time we'll discuss police review. There was a meeting of the police review board last Monday that was quite significant. I actually did some good public speaking at that meeting. I'll perhaps be able to find and play that tape for you and give you an update on what's happening there. But the clock says 1, and it's time for this particular mouse to be scampering Hickory Dickory Dock. And you're going to get some other, another pussycat here is going to go after some of the rats in the county. He's well known for it. That's battling Bob LaMonica. He's been one of the mainstays behind the Dump Danner recall campaign, which failed to get the signatures necessary, but did get a hell of a lot of signatures, did some fine educational outreach. You're going to hear more about that as Bob comes on. And I encourage you to call in with any stories, any concerns you have about injustice in the district attorney's office, any problems you've had with the district attorney's office. Bob, I'm sure, is still interested in compiling that kind of information. Plus, he has some new wrinkles for you. Plus, the upcoming trial of Art Danner, which may well be happening, a civil trial in January if attorney Ed Fry is successful in his late October hearing before Judge Stevens. So I'm going to turn the mic over to Battling Bob after I put on a tape of some kind, if I can find one. We'll go out with a few more, a few words from people on the mall about the downtown hosts and other such stuff. And I hope you'll join me on Monday from 10 to 1 on Bathrobe's Piers Broadsides. We are every Monday and Friday, and in between times, you can reach me at 423-HUFF.
Jeffrey Adams Griffin Stewart.
And Jeffrey, shall I call you Jeffrey? Or?
You can call me Jeffrey, yes.
So you had a problem with the police and some drugs.
Well, I haven't had a problem with the police. I just have a problem with the police being the functions they're supposed to be as far as protecting the public interest around here is concerned.
Right.
My feeling is that when I've come in contact with them, that there's a confusion on their part as to what their function actually is, and a recipient of their hospitality for being intoxicated, or what they thought I was intoxicated, or perhaps I was, and that's certainly something that I will admit to. But in the process, I had my musical instruments taken from me, not by the police, but during the time I was being arrested, my instruments remained on the street and were subsequently stolen.
Now, when did this incident happen?
It happened from the Blue Lagoon, and I wasn't really doing very much except just sort of being out in front of the Blue Lagoon
And
when did this happen?
This happened on September the 20th.
That was yesterday.
Yeah, September 20th. I say July because I work for a guy named Yankee Doodle, and every time I try to act like an American, I'm thinking of July 4th for all the fireworks and stuff
right,
like that.
So
the police sort of came up behind me. They didn't read me my rights or anything like that, but I can be aware of, and took me what they thought, according to they were told by the bouncers at the Blue Lagoon. I was just out in the street. I never went in the Blue Lagoon. The guy, the bouncer, put a finger hold on me at the Blue Lagoon, and when I just went down to the, dropped the finger hold down to the, toward more towards gravity, they had to let go. So after that, I sort of got my bearings back and some money. I stopped there earlier trying to get change for $20 that I'd been tipped by a gracious person on the street who liked the music we were playing up the street. So in an attempt to get late night change for $20, I asked the bouncer there for $20 change. He had a big stack of money in his hand and he did not want to give me change for $20. So I came back and sort of, after having gotten change, after much duress and stuff like that, I'm going to get change at late at night so I could separate the money and give to the other street musicians who deserve